In today's episode of Our Collective Nightmare, we find ourselves trapped in the Kafkaesque absurdity that is the U.S.-China trade debacle, orchestrated by none other than President Donald Trump. Yes, folks, it's 2025, and we're still riding this carousel of chaos with him at the helm. In a world where logic has apparently taken a permanent vacation, Trump is holding out for a phone call from Xi Jinping, one that might never come. Trump's latest move: slap an eye-watering 145% tariff on Chinese goods while giving every other nation a temporary breather. Because who needs affordable imports when you can have economic brinkmanship? Meanwhile, China retaliates by cutting off American movies, a strategic blow to Hollywood's fragile ego, and raising their own tariffs to 84%. It's like watching two toddlers in a sandbox throwing toys at each other, while the rest of us wonder if anyone will ever grow up. The White House insists China should make the first move because nothing screams diplomatic genius like waiting for your adversary to blink first in this high-stakes game of chicken. Trump's administration believes Beijing will eventually cave and reach out. But surprise, Xi isn't picking up the phone, likely because he doesn't want to look weak by initiating contact with a country that's made confrontation its national pastime. Behind closed doors, both nations are whispering sweet nothings through unofficial channels that amount to exactly zilch. The Trump team wants someone closer to Xi for talks, because clearly trust is abundant between these two superpowers. Meanwhile, China dangles rare earth minerals over our heads like some twisted sword of Damocles ready to drop at any moment. And as if things weren't already enough of a mess, China's been cozying up with Elon Musk, because why not throw another wild card into this geopolitical circus? They're hoping Musk can bridge the communication gap, but so far all they've gotten is static. In this dystopian theater where sanity took its final bow long ago, both countries continue their tit-for-tat antics with no end in sight. The only certainty here is mutual destruction, the kind where everyone loses but somehow keeps playing anyway. So what's left for us mere mortals caught in this geopolitical whirlpool? We watch helplessly as our leaders gamble with futures. They seem hell-bent on dismantling one tariff hike at a time. Welcome to America, land of endless opportunity squandered by those who should know better but consistently prove they don't. And there you have it, a dark comedy without punchlines or exits, just an endless loop of poor decisions masquerading as strategy while we wait for someone, anyone, to wake us from this collective nightmare before it's too late.
Of Social Security's phone service, a modern-day Greek tragedy for the privileged. Imagine, if you will, a land where the most pressing issue isn't climate change or healthcare, but waiting on hold to confirm that yes, your benefits are still coming. Welcome to White People Problems, where we explore dilemmas so trivial they make a hangnail seem catastrophic. First up, we have Leland Dudek, Acting Commissioner of Social Security, who bravely admitted their phone service can suck, a bold statement from a government official. Akin to admitting water is wet or that kale tastes like sadness. But fear not, they plan to highlight just how much they suck before fixing it. Because nothing says efficiency like a public confession of incompetence. Now let's talk about Linda Obermeit. Poor Linda has been catapulted into what she calls Social Security purgatory. She spent hours on the phone and made 5 trips to offices, all in pursuit of her ex-spouse's benefits. Linda's plight is so dire she might as well be scaling Everest without oxygen. Or at least that's how it feels when you're stuck in rural Oregon with bad cell reception. And then there's Erin Siniff, who took her 86-year-old mother on an epic quest across Washington State just to file survivor benefits. It's like The Amazing Race, but with fewer exotic locations and more bureaucratic tedium. But wait, there's hope. You could always try the My Social Security website, where there's no wait time at all. Of course, this assumes you're tech-savvy enough to navigate a government website without accidentally signing up for something else entirely, like jury duty or spam emails from your congressman. So what's the solution? More staff? Better systems? Nah, too logical. Let's keep everyone calling back later while sitting in their cold cars for hours because, hey, that's character building. In conclusion, while some folks worry about existential threats like nuclear war or AI taking over the world, remember, there are people out there whose greatest struggle is getting through to Social Security before their coffee gets cold. And that, my friends, is peak white people problems.
Ah. The Daily Dose of Dystopia brings you yet another heartwarming tale of structural integrity and societal priorities with the tragic collapse of the Jet Set nightclub roof in the Dominican Republic. A mere 200 plus casualties, a minor blip on the radar of modern architectural excellence, have prompted a nation to pause for 3 days of mourning, because, naturally, nothing says we care like a temporary halt to routine activities. The rescue operation has gracefully transitioned into recovery efforts. It's always comforting when authorities announce that all reasonable possibilities have been exhausted. One can almost hear the collective sigh of relief as civil protection services shift from saving lives to salvaging dignity. After all, what's more dignified than being pulled from rubble posthumously? In an emotional press conference, Juan Manuel Mendez shed tears over his hardest job in 2 decades. A touching moment that perfectly encapsulates our shared human experience, watching helplessly as preventable tragedies unfold before us. Meanwhile, the cause remains undetermined, an intriguing mystery that will surely be solved by rigorous introspection and accountability, or not. The venue itself was an icon of opulence, an upscale hotspot where high-profile partygoers could revel under a roof built half a century ago. Who could have predicted that time might take its toll? Certainly not those who opted for aesthetics over safety checks. As families sift through lists at field hospitals and scour local medical centers for news, we are reminded once again that hope springs eternal, even amidst chaos and despair. President Luis Abinader's visit with condolences in tow must have been a balm to those gathered outside the wreckage. Nothing soothes grief quite like political presence. And so continues our journey down this path, paved with good intentions and crumbling infrastructure, where each step forward is accompanied by echoes of past oversights. What better way to commemorate this dance with destiny than by attending memorials alongside top government officials and meringue legends? Truly, it's a testament to how far we've come and how little we've learned in our quest for progress and prosperity.
Welcome to the Existential Crisis Hour, where we ponder the big questions of life while trying not to trip over our own shoelaces. Today, we're inspired by an article from CNN titled Mottos and Mantras. Yes, because nothing screams existential dread quite like a catchy phrase designed to get you off the couch. So, motivational mantras are supposed to enhance sports performance and improve clarity of mind. But let's be honest, if repeating just do it is all it takes for enlightenment, maybe our problems were never that deep in the first place. Imagine Socrates at the gym, know thyself, and Lyft fitness coaches suggest letting your mantra find you. This sounds suspiciously like waiting for a pizza delivery that may or may not arrive. What if your mantra turns out to be, I should have ordered extra cheese? Is that personal growth or just hunger pangs? And then there's the profound realization that words can train our minds as we train our bodies, which is great until you remember most of us can't even stick to a New Year's resolution past January 3rd. So perhaps our real mantra should be, maybe tomorrow. But don't worry, it's not all doom and gloom. Apparently, mantras help keep us moving and healthy in the long run, assuming we manage not to get distracted by Netflix or existential despair along the way. For those who love structure, consider this. Training isn't linear. It's more like a roller coaster with no safety bar, a thrilling ride through self-doubt and occasional triumphs punctuated by ice cream breaks. And let's not forget those poignant moments when we realize one day we might not physically keep up with these activities anymore. Ah yes, mortality, the ultimate motivation killer, or perhaps just another excuse to skip leg day. In conclusion, whether your mantra is because you can or simply you can do this, remember, life is absurdly complicated. So why not embrace the chaos with a smile or at least a sarcastic smirk? After all, if existence doesn't come with an instruction manual, who says it can't come with a catchphrase?
In the grand carnival of capitalism, where every human endeavor is monetized and every emotion commodified, we find ourselves at the latest spectacle. NatalCon. Here, in a world teetering on the brink of overconsumption and environmental collapse, a new breed of profit-driven idealists gather to worship at the altar of fertility. This is not your average baby shower. It's a symposium for those who believe that salvation lies in sheer numbers, more babies to fuel an insatiable economic engine. The scene is set with all the trappings of modern consumerism. Name tags and pasta salads punctuated by PowerPoint presentations extolling the virtues of procreation, as if it were the next hot tech stock. The attendees, professors, alt-right provocateurs, internet personalities, are united by a singular vision. More bodies mean more growth. Children become mere statistics, in a ledger designed to stave off what they ominously call civilizational catastrophe. As Elon Musk amplifies this message from his digital pulpit, promising attention and legitimacy to these pronatalist prophets, one cannot help but marvel at the absurdity. A man who fathers children, like some collect stamps, becomes a beacon for those desperate to find meaning through multiplication. The irony is rich. Musk himself embodies the very contradiction he champions, a billionaire whose personal life reads like an exposé on excess. Yet beneath this veneer lies something darker, a movement flirting with eugenics under the guise of cultural preservation. Critics outside NatalCon's closed doors chant accusations of racism and fear-mongering, while inside, participants dismiss such concerns as mere white noise. They are too busy plotting demographic domination through matchmaking sessions in yellow wristbands, a dystopian twist on speed dating where family planning meets market strategy. Proponents argue their cause with evangelical fervor. Falling birth rates spell doom for economies reliant on perpetual growth. But their solutions ignore inconvenient truths about sustainability and resource depletion. Immigration, the only practical short-term answer, is dismissed as unethical exploitation by those who would rather see nations populated with their own progeny than welcome outsiders into their fold. This fever dream extends beyond policy into personal lives, where women don bonnets, not out of necessity, but as ironic defiance against critics invoking the Handmaid's Tale. Their sartorial choices symbolize a rebellion against perceived oppression, even as they unwittingly play into narratives that reduce female agency to reproductive utility. And so it goes. Young men arrive seeking partners amid gender imbalances reminiscent of bygone eras, when women were commodities traded among suitors vying for genetic legacy. Even here at NatalCon's matchmaking events, capitalism rears its head. Love reduced to transactions facilitated by seminars promising connection in our atomized age. Ultimately, though, this gathering remains an exercise in futility. No conference can compel nature or nurture beyond its limits, nor legislate desire where apathy reigns supreme among generations disillusioned with promises unkept by predecessors, now clamoring for continuity through offspring alone. In this capitalist fever dream, masquerading as social crusade, lies an uncomfortable truth about humanity's relentless pursuit towards self-preservation via accumulation without introspection, a testament not just to our capacity for innovation, but also self-delusion, when faced with existential threats demanding genuine change, rather than superficial solutions dressed up as progressivism, wrapped neatly within economic imperatives, dictated solely by profit margins divorced entirely from reality itself.